Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What up, buddy?
Buddy, I'm good, man. How you holding up?
Holding up well. Can't complain.
It's a new year. What are you watching? What's on your DVR? What are you watching? Netflix, TV? What are you watching?
What are we watching? Oh, the Queen's Gambit.
Watching that. Saw it. That's fun.
It's interesting. Yeah. That's kind of what we're into right now. We've got a couple queued up, so I can't really say if any other ones are good or not. I'll get to the Queen's Gambit and then see where we're at from there.
Are you not a Cobra Kai guy?
I have not watched. I've heard it is very good, but I have
it's
not
fun.
Watched.
It's just a really fun, easy, quick show, and it's just the writing's good. It's sort of like OC-ish, but like cheesier, and they know they're cheesy. So it's just good and fun and corny.
Are you a Bachelor?
I enjoy it.
And Bachelorette fan?
I'm watching a little bit. I'm watching Matt. And it's fine this season. It's fine, I'd say. It's just, to me, there's just nothing really exciting about this season.
Yeah.
So far. But I did find it a little weird when the first episode, like, he has all the girls praying. And then ever since, I was like, okay. You know, like, this guy's too perfect. I'm falling for him. You know? Like, this guy, it's too perfect.
Well, I think we have a perfect guest to ask about what her thoughts are on Matt James. Because we got Andy Dorfman coming up, who obviously was a Bachelor contestant herself, turned Bachelorette. So we'll get her on in a minute. I do know we want to, let's read a comment, right?
Read a comment, read a review, and again, if you leave us a good comment or a good review, we will read it live on air. That's the best thing you can do to support this podcast, the Hollywood Raw Podcast, is go on iTunes or Stitcher, wherever you listen to the podcast, leave a review, and that's the best way you can do to support this podcast. It's just like this weird algorithm with the podcast land, and that's what you gotta do. Dax,
plus,
do you have a review?
And plus, it's good for our egos.
Yes, so. We have self-esteem issues, so please help us out.
All right, so the review comes from Cheryl. Cheryl put, "This is an incredible podcast. You guys are killing it. I absolutely love your podcast. You always ask the questions we want to know. I have to say, this is the first podcast where I don't mind listening to the advertisements, as you guys are absolutely hilarious. And Dax, your laugh is infectious. I love it. Thank you for all the humor, the humor maybe you bring to the podcast, and it's uplifting and brightens our day." Thank you, Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl.
Cheryl's our new best
thank
friend.
Thank you so much. Yeah, well, you're invited to our Christmas party next year, the company Christmas party. It's just me and Dax at a Buffalo Wild Wings. So, and we do it remotely because he's in California, I'm in New York. So we do it over Skype, but we both go to a Buffalo Wild Wings. That's how we celebrate our Hollywood Raw company Christmas party. Thank you, Cheryl. Dax, tell us about our guest today.
Today's guest is a former district attorney turned bachelor contestant who then became the bachelorette herself. And I think has also become a two-time best-selling author, amassed a huge following on social media, and started her own running app called Endorphins. Please welcome Andy Dorfman.
So, Andy, a few months ago, you left New York City for LA. How's it going?
I love it. Left New York City mid-pandemic, like June. I was there through most of it. April was a tough month. Honestly, I kind of always had plans to come out west. My sister's out here with two little kids, and I was just like, I got to pull the trigger, you know, now or never. And so picked up and moved from one lockdown to another.
So what you're saying is LA is better than New York, right?
No, I love New York. I have a special place in my heart for New York no matter what, but I will tell you, life is a little easier here in LA. Like, the sun is always shining, you know, it's 78 degrees right now. I feel like I'm almost living a retired life.
If you don't know, Adam's in New York, I'm in LA. So we have this debate quite often, and I am very pro LA. So you hear that, Adam? LA wins.
Did you do New York, Dax? Did you ever do New York?
Oh, I've been to New York a lot. I've never lived in New York because there's just too much going on, but I love LA.
It's so fun though. Like, I'm glad I did New York. I was there for 5.5 years. So, like, I got my fill of New York in. And now it's like, oh, okay, the days are longer and brighter over here.
And Dax, let's be real. Andy, you also lived like in the coolest area. You lived like pure Carrie Bradshaw, Sex and the City world. You lived right in the West Village. You had like an insane area around you. It was like a community. You had good restaurants, good bars, good shopping. Like, it was the ideal. I can't think of maybe a better place to live in New York City than your location.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I basically rented when I first moved. I had moved from Atlanta to New York City. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anything about it. I'd gotten a couple of recommendations and I found like a great Airbnb on Grove Street. And from there, which is like the heart of West Village, from there, it was like there was no way I was leaving the West Village. And so stayed there for 5.5 years. And yeah, it was great. I had like my Carrie Bradshaw years. You know, I had my moments of like flipping my hair when I was crossing the street and looking at the Freedom Tower. Like, it was amazing. But 5.5 years was a good run for me there.
What was the final straw that made you move?
I mean, it was kind of, like I said, it was kind of in the works. I don't have family in New York. Like, there wasn't a lot tying me there. After I'd written the second book, there really wasn't that much tying me there. And then COVID hit and staring at the same four small walls, even though I lived in a great area, like my apartment was a shoebox. And I just was like, now or never, just do it. I have to do it. And then thought about starting the app. Everything was kind of out here in LA as far as like a production standpoint, app developers, space to go running. So that was kind of the trigger in like May, June.
That's awesome. So would you ever move back to New York, or are you going to be an LA girl from now forward?
I'm going to be an LA girl for a while. It wouldn't surprise me if, 5 years from now or so, I make my way back down south. My family's there. Other than my sister, I love Southern boys. But I'll tell you, it's hard, Dax. You know, it's hard to leave this weather.
I feel it.
Yeah. So you mentioned the app, the Endorphins app, which we're going to get into. You know, we're going to talk about all the stuff you're up to in the Endorphins app, which is super cool. We're going to get into that. But let's start first how people got to know Andy Dorfman. Obviously, you went on The Bachelor first. You know, you're let's start off. You're an attractive girl. You're intelligent. You had a great job. You know, you were working as you're a former district attorney. What made you want to do The Bachelor?
Well, it started with free drinks because I was on a government salary. My girlfriends all told me about this casting call for The Bachelor, and I was like, there's no way I'm doing The Bachelor. Of course, I knew what it was. I didn't watch it, not really a fan. And then they told me there were free drinks at the party. So I went for the free drinks. The funny story about it is I didn't even get the free drinks because one of the producers had pulled me aside, had a conversation with them, and then they wanted to invite me to LA. Again, being on a government salary, I was like, wait a second, can I go visit my sister who lives in San Diego if I come to LA? And they said, sure, we'll set that up, like, no worries. So then it turned in from free drinks to a free trip. And then next thing I knew, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go to LA for the actual show. I'm sure I won't even get on. I didn't know how any of it worked. Another free vacation is how I saw it. And then I got there and I was like, wow, what did I get myself into here? And 9 weeks later, I showed back up at work and I was like, I'm back.
Did it take 9 weeks to film, or is it just they had you kind
Yeah,
of
the
like
first.
sequestered for 9 weeks?
Well, so the whole the when I was on The Bachelor with Juan Pablo, you start like a few days before they like lock you in a hotel room, literally for like 3 days. That's before you even have the first night. And then I had made it through the fantasy suites, and at that point they had all these spoilers coming out, so they were kind of keeping everybody wherever they were. We were in St. Lucia, which sounds amazing, and it was, but like 3 weeks of like quarantine basically on an island gets to you, like total island fever. And so in total it ended up being about 9 weeks for me before I got to go back home.
And when you're doing
Wow.
like the fantasy suites, are you allowed, do you have to stay in your room while the other people are doing their time, or are you allowed to like go hang out on the beach?
No, so you have a at that point you have a handler, they call it. So you've got one person that's like monitoring you. You still, by the way, have no access to the outside world. You still cannot have a phone. You're not talking to your parents. You can't like be on the internet, watch TV, nothing. So they kind of keep you occupied. I mean, you could go to the beach, I guess, or a pool, but then they've got to disperse everybody around to different hotels because you don't want to run into somebody else on their fantasy suite. Although now they probably do want you to do that. But back in the day, back in the day when it was a little more kosher, they really made sure to separate everybody. So it was just you and that handler, and that
so
was
what
it.
What did you do to occupy your time then? Because that sounds really boring.
Drank and ordered room service. Like, everyone wonders why people, you know, can put on a few pounds in that show. It's like, all you do is eat and drink.
Doesn't sound like that bad.
Adam's like, fun. Sign me up. How is the food on this show? Is it pretty good? Because who did we talk to the other day? I forget who we talked to. Maybe it was Trista or something.
Maybe Trista.
Said the food was actually pretty decent.
Oh, amazing. When we lived in the mansion, you literally wrote out a grocery list every day. And this list would be just pages and pages long. And all of a sudden, a couple hours later, the pantry, the fridge was completely stocked. Yeah, they spared no expense. Like, ABC and Bachelor were really good to us in that way. I mean, anything you wanted,
you got. Do they display the booze? Like, here you go. We're not going to stop you. Because I know on, like, MTV shows,
they definitely don't stop you. Yeah, no, they definitely don't stop you. I mean, I think it's just, like, sitting on the counter. There's not, like, a wine cellar ready to go. I wish, but no, they don't stop you.
What about, you know, obviously from, you know, you go out there, you have no access to the outside world, you know, there's probably so many thoughts going in your head. Do you ever look back at the experience and be like, man, do I have like PTSD from it?
You know, I don't have a sense of like PTSD. I think it's more of just like, sometimes I have to stop myself from going down the rabbit hole of like how much it changed my life. Like you said in the beginning, I was an attorney. I kind of had my whole life, like what I thought I wanted to be played out for me, you know, how I was going to work up the ladder, how I was going to be, you know, promoted to this, that, like work hard all these years. And then just like the turn that it can take. I mean, I always try and say like, I don't regret it because I wouldn't be in LA. I wouldn't have been in New York City living in the West Village. Like I was a girl from Georgia, you know, I would have been married with a white picket fence, probably miserable at like 32 at this point. And so I think less PTSD and more of just like, wow, the trajectory of my life changed very quickly and very drastically.
I want to know, what was your first like opinion or thoughts of Juan Pablo? Because I feel like all these, you see the contestants go on and they always look like they're love at first sight. But I'm like, I can't imagine that being true.
Yeah.
Or is it just like the atmosphere and like people get into it and it's because that's what they're supposed to do?
I think a little bit. For me personally, I mean, he was hot. That was my first impression. Like I remember pulling up to the limo. Obviously, the lighting's impeccable. He's standing there in a nice tailored suit, but he was a good looking guy. And like, I walked up, I was like, this guy is hot. You know, he doesn't have to say anything for me to know that he's hot.
But where is he now?
You know, I don't know. I think I had heard he had gotten married, I think.
Yeah, I heard he got divorced too. He's off like of all the Bachelor and Bachelorette contestants, he's like the one that like just went missing. I don't feel like anybody has confined
the first
him.
First Bachelor, I totally forgot his name right now, but the first Bachelor guy,
he's
gone.
Definitely missing.
Like no one can find him. Off the radar.
Yeah, he really did go off the radar, Juan Pablo. I mean, obviously I don't think the experience for him turned out as well as it has for some other Bachelors. So I'm sure he just kind of wanted to get some distance from
He wasn't a very liked Bachelor at the end of the day.
No.
He got a lot of crap. So then you go through your whole process. Then they approach you and say, we want you to become the Bachelorette. How did that process happen?
I mean, at first I said, hell no, I've already been through this for 9 weeks. And like, there's no way my job's going to let me like do this. And I remember just joking about it because I went back to work. You know, when we were airing, we stopped filming in like, I think mid-November, right before Thanksgiving. So I was back at work. And then it's not till like March when they do the finale or the tell-all. And I remember just like joking about it with my boss. And they were like, you have to do it. Like, it's a no-brainer. You have to do it. And they were like, you keep your job, like when you come back. So then at that point, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm just going to do this. And in an ironic way, I feel like I'm going to be the person that was the attorney that was kind of cynical about it, that went on for free drinks and a free vacation. And it's going to be the one to end up finding love. So in my 27-year-old mind at the time, I really was like, this is going to be it for me. So I went for it.
Was there like an extensive interview process or did they just offer to you or did they start talking to you about it?
They just slapped a contract in front of me, like at Women Tell All. I remember at Women Tell All, they slapped a contract in front of me. And then there's a little back and forth. I remember at the time, you know, just not, even though I was an attorney, like I was a prosecutor. I wasn't a contract lawyer. I'd taken one contract class probably my entire life. And very quick, happened very quickly. And next thing I knew, a couple weeks later, I was, you know, getting fitted for the rose ceremony dresses.
So what's the difference between walking in the room as the Bachelorette and walking in the room with just 25 other girls going, oh God, but let's see what happens. What's the experience like?
I mean, it's so different because as the bachelorette, you're really in charge of the contestants. Like, that was something that I feel like a lot of women, including myself, kind of didn't appreciate with Juan Pablo necessarily, was that, like, he didn't really, like, take charge. Like, he knew what was going on. None of us ever knew what was going on. But as the lead, you know what's going on. You're prepped on the dates. You've done kind of the walkthroughs. Like, you've seen, you know, the whole lay of the land. So I think it was more of not so much being in control, but more of being, like, able to kind of take care of the guys and lead them more versus just being around 25 girls having no idea what's going on.
Did you know, like, when the guys came out of the limo, we were like, oh, this guy's got no chance right away? Like, we're like seven guys, like, let's stop. Like, listen, let's just end this now. Make it a little bit easier. I forgot your name. And actually, that's where I'm curious. How do you remember everyone's name during the first rose ceremony?
Well, first of all, like, the first two limos, I remember taking a break and I was like, we're done. Like, we could just end here. Like, there's no zero chance this is going to happen. Like, the first two limos, I just did not know. But I mean, I always say it's like when you walk into a bar, if you walked into a bar with, you know, 25 guys or girls, whether you're a guy or girl, you know which ones you're attracted to and which ones you aren't. As far as the name, I will say this, like, I remember talking to Juan Pablo the first night, but I remember a lot of girls, you know, not getting their time. And I made an effort to get time with each of the guys. And I just, like, asked them about their lives or their, like, what they did. And I remember just kind of associating, like, okay, Ben brought like baked beans and macaroni and cheese. Like, I would just remember one thing about each guy. And then it was pretty easy to remember their names. Like, you have a conversation.
So you didn't have to, like, stop down in between each rose and be like, feed me some names.
So you stop, but it's not necessarily for the lead. It's for the camera crew so that they know where they're focusing. So they give you a list. And I remember I was like, no, we'll go through all 25, you know, try to be like hardcore. They're like, this isn't about you going through 25. Like, we're sure you're an attorney. You can, like, memorize 25 names. They're like, it's more for the camera crew to, like, set up and be able to pan.
That's so funny. I always wonder, yeah. And what we see as the audience is it looks like, you know, one night. But why do you think that they force this whole interaction to end at like 6 a.m, right? Like, doesn't it end crazy early in the morning?
Yeah. It ends in the morning. Well, so what happened? I mean, first of all, production always gets delayed. So they have to wait till it's nighttime to start because you want, like, that continuity of everybody arriving. And by the time the limos pull up, the intros, they got to, like, water down the driveway after each person. And there's so many people the first night. So I think that's why the first night just takes so long, is there's so many people.
So then do they let you rest the whole next day after you film the first night? Or are they like, okay, up and at 'em, let's go on our first date?
Yeah, no. So we go back to the hotel. I don't know if this is how they still do it, but we go back to the same hotel that we were sequestered in before while they, like, get the house ready. You know, they've got to, like, move the bunk beds around and I guess change some of the furniture or whatever. And then I think a day or two later, you move into the house.
I didn't realize that.
This sounds like Playmate, by the way, when I say moving into the house. I've never realized how much that sounds like a Playboy thing, but it's like, yeah, we move into the house. Like,
do they tell you the order in the way to say the names? Because it's always like I'm always saying from watching other episodes, it's always like the last person, that person, it's suspenseful. Like, are they going to say this person's name? So do they tell you the order or do they edit the order when you see
it? They edit the order.
Gotcha.
So if you look closely, sometimes you can see that, like, somebody already has a rose pinned and they haven't been called yet.
Wow.
So they edit the order. I don't remember us really, like, sticking to an order except, like, hey, make sure you say these five guys because, like, this is where the camera crew is set up for these five guys. They've got their guys ready to go.
So what's something that happens inside the house that viewers never get to see?
A lot of nail painting. A lot of manicures. I mean, there's literally, like, all day long. If somebody's on a date all day, you're just sitting at the house. They make you do so many interviews. But a lot of manicures. Luckily, there's hairstylists and makeup in every bunch, like, of girls. But yeah, lots of French braids and manicures. Sounding more and more like the Playmates.
So you got engaged on the show, but obviously that engagement didn't lead to marriage. Do you ever think, like, man, if I could do it over, like, this is going to sound pretty ridiculous, but, like, man, I should have picked the other person. Like, there was a good shot with Nick. No, it's like it worked out. It just didn't work out.
honestly, if I had to pick a different person from my season, it would not have been Nick, who was second. It would have been Chris Sewells, who was third. Yeah. But at the time, I just, like, he was my buddy, he was my friend, and I really liked Nick and Josh. And so I was like, all right, I have to, like, remove – Chris was kind of, like, my safety blanket. Like, he was the guy that I could go on a date with, and, like, I knew that we could, like, have a good time. There wasn't a ton of pressure. Like, he was a relief. But I knew, like, when the final three came down, it was like, I need to actually get serious about these final two. And so I kind of had to remove him as, like, a safety net. But definitely it wouldn't have been Nick. It wouldn't have been anyone else, I don't think.
Did you date any of the contestants after the, like, did you date any of them after the show that you didn't pick?
No.
It was just done.
Yeah, now it was done. I mean, they also, like, most of my season went on to be bachelors. Both Nick and Chris went on to be bachelors at some point.
So now that you've done the experience, would you ever do it again?
No.
You've been on twice. Like, I feel like you're still, we don't know.
Yeah, not in a bad way that I wouldn't do it again. Just, like, I actually, like, really enjoyed doing it. It was great. I traveled. I have still, even though it didn't work out for me, like, still have, you know, a great taste in my mouth about it. Like, I traveled the world. I met really cool people. I had this experience. Like, I don't know. I don't think I'd want to do it again.
Why do you think that the track record is so poor for The Bachelor and The Bachelorette? Like, I feel like we are so excited for these relationships. We kind of fall in love with you guys and the relationship. And they don't seem to work out for most of them. And is it just because it's such a small period of time, people don't have time to really get to know each other? Is that what it comes down to?
I mean, I think you have to be honest and say there's a difference between the Bachelorettes and the Bachelor. Just, like, statistically speaking, the Bachelorettes have a much higher success rate. I mean, there's a lot of the girls that have gotten married or engaged or, like, still together with somebody. I think obviously girls and ladies tend to lead with their emotions, whereas the men are, you know, leading with, you know, other parts of their body. They just see, like, yeah, they see the attraction. I think you have tunnel vision for sure. I mean, you're filming a show, like, you're on these incredible dates. There's lights, there's cameras, you know, you have that. But also, I think, again, to your point, Dax, it's just a very short amount of time. I mean, I remember coming off the show and realizing, like, oh, wow, like, his life is not exactly how it was portrayed, yeah. You know, and it's like when you get back to reality and those cameras are off, it's a different world. But I do think the females have a better intuition and make sure to kind of connect on, like, a more emotional level. And that's why I think they have a better success rate.
I could see that. I mean, obviously when you were The Bachelor, you got engaged to Josh. You guys broke up. Have you talked to Josh at all?
Oh, hell no. No. No, I moved to New York, and that was my parting gift.
Has he tried to reach out, or just, like, maybe just to make amends?
I'm pretty sure that number's been blocked for about 5 or 6 years.
I want to know, with the Bachelor and the Bachelorette, I feel that, you know, does it still have the longevity that it once had? I guess that's what I want to know.
I mean, if you had asked me 2 or 3 years ago, I would have said there's no way the show goes another 2 or 3 years. But, like, look at it now. It's still huge. And I think obviously a lot of that has to do with the social media craze around it. I think Bachelor and social media have really, like, blended well together to the point where I don't see the show ending anytime soon.
Do you guys have, like, a supportive community as far as, like, you know, once you're announced to become The Bachelor, or even, like, when Claire is announced to become The Bachelorette and stuff, do you guys all have to call each other and wish them good luck and give them advice? I feel like that's, like, the motherhood of everyone.
Yeah. We have a Bachelorette group chat.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's very cool. Do you feel like the show at all is losing steam, you know, based on the short season with Claire? And then it's just kind of, it's coming so quick, the seasons. Do you feel like at all it's losing its edge a little bit?
I mean, I think it was losing its edge a little bit when we started to see the social media, like, climbers, so to speak, where you just started to see people that were clearly on there for social media and followers and, you know, the campaigns. I think it's going to get back on track. Now we're back on track with timing. So you kind of have to discount last year. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic and, like, they're trying to film in one hotel. They've got two bachelorettes, kind of crazy. But now they're back on schedule. So I don't know. I think this year will be very telling for the franchise of, like, what direction it's going in, you know, how much steam it's kind of lost or how much steam it's going to gain. I don't know. Like I said, 3 years ago, I would have been like, no, that show's not going to be on for that much longer. And here we are still talking about it.
All right. So is Andy Dorfman single or dating right now?
Define dating. I mean, I'm willing to date.
Are you seeing one person by chance?
No, I'm definitely single. Definitely single. Back on the market.
So wait, we saw you posted a photo on vacation, and clearly there was a guy with you, and then you quickly deleted it. And maybe you deleted it because everyone's trying to guess who the guy is, but why did you delete the photo first?
Okay, so I kind of forgot how involved people still are in, like, Bachelor and Bachelorette's love lives. And so something that might not be very serious, it's like, I don't post a lot of that kind of stuff in my personal life. It's like, I've been off the show for 6 years, and I've clearly dated guys in the past 6 years. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't realize this is going to be a thing. Like, I thought it was just like, like my friends will be like, oh, but no, it blew up. And I was just like, oh, my God, this is a mistake.
I saw a lot of names flying around, but the one I saw was the name popped up the most was Bennett Jordan. Any chance that was him in the photo?
Yeah, I heard that too. No, I don't even know who that is. I mean, now I do because of that, but I've never met him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I made it clear. I was like, I've not dated anybody outside of my season. Other than the guys on my season, I've not dated anybody outside of my season.
Do you think Bennett was the one who put it out there to kind of egg on to keep his name out there at all?
I don't know. I don't even know what season he was on.
I think he was a contestant on with Dale, with Claire. Like, he was like a newer type guy, I believe. Yeah. But it was crazy how much that blew up. Well, here's the thing. You have a very good relationship with Chris Harrison. And I guess a lot of people speculated that you and Chris potentially had a relationship or dated. Did any of that happen at all?
No, I feel like people have said that for years. He's like one of my closest friends. And I feel like they say that about like him with every contestant, which is so funny because he's like the farthest thing from that. Like, he comes in. I don't want to say he's like a dad because I don't want to age him that much. But he is now. I mean, a lot of these girls are, you know, the age of his son at this point, but like, that's not him at all. It's not his style. Like, no.
So, and you're friends with Tyler Cameron, right? I think that's pretty well known. And Tyler obviously is really good friends with Matt James. So, curious, what I'm assuming you've ran into Matt James. You must know him.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts of him in being the Bachelor this season?
No, I know Matt really well. It's so funny. They're like, I joke that they're little brothers. I mean, they're so funny, but they're young. I love Matt. So Matt actually, before, when he was going on Claire's season, he's like, you know, talking to me, he's like, what am I going to do for my entrance? And I'll never forget. He was like in my apartment in New York, literally we're gluing these little roses to magnets to like give to Claire on the first night. And he was pumped to go on. And then next thing he knew, it was like 3 weeks later and they just announced him as the Bachelor. So his entire world, I feel like, has just totally changed. I feel like as much as Tyler can prep him for it, he is on his own now. I watched like last night's episode and I was like, wow, he's really on his own. But I love Matt. He's a sweet guy. He's like a good dude. He's a guy that you talk to in like a little bit mild mannered, but like just a good dude.
Here's the thing I question with that. I'm sure he's a good guy and stuff, but the reason why he kind of got a little, I guess, shit from Claire is because he created a Cameo account before his season even went in. So I guess Claire is a little upset about that, and she posted saying, I think people were going on the show for the wrong intentions. Now, you said, like, you know, people go on the show to kind of be a social climber in some sense. Do we think that's why Matt's doing it, is to become a social climber? Has he seen how big Tyler got?
I don't think so. The thing that happened with Claire, which was, and I talked to her about this, what was the reason she was so upset was because Claire wasn't allowed to be saying anything. You know, she was under contract. She was going to be the Bachelorette. So it wasn't so much as like, oh, Matt's doing this or so. And there were a lot of guys doing stuff, by the way. It wasn't just Matt. But she wasn't able to say anything. And I think she kind of felt like the control and the power had been taken away from her in that sense, where it's like, wait, she has to stay quiet, but all these guys can be like doing all this stuff. And like, they had done like an interview that I think was set up through production. So she was just kind of like, this isn't really fair. I don't get to talk, but all these guys that like haven't even come on the show and kind of paid their dues are getting to talk. So the whole thing, I think, was kind of taken out of context. And I think it was a lot less about Matt, and it was more just the general concept of her feeling like, wait a second, like, I'm doing all this behind the scenes stuff and like making sure these dates are going to go well and prepping, and like, I don't get to talk, but they do.
I was going to say, did Matt reach out to you and ask for your, you know, any advice on becoming the Bachelor since you've gone through that main role?
Oh, yeah, we talked about it. Yeah, we talked about it pretty extensively, actually. And I mean, I just kind of gave the same advice because let's be honest, nobody's going to listen to the advice. It goes in one ear, out the ear for everyone. I'm like, just try and be yourself, like do your thing. You know, no matter what anybody says to you, you're not going to be prepared. You get left kind of like on a stranded island where you, again, have no access to any phones, any people that you know. And I feel like just all advice goes out the window. So I'm always just like, just enjoy it, soak it in. You're only going to get to do it once probably. And I always just say that.
So you're a former district attorney. How many presidents are on the Mount Rushmore?
Four.
Four presidents. Is that right, Dex?
Yes.
Is that what we're saying? Four? Okay. So if we had to do a Mount Rushmore.
I was like, where are we going with this?
So if we had to do a Mount. If we had to do a Mount.
Maybe they don't know the answer either. In true attorney fashion.
I know. And actually, you being a district attorney has nothing to do with Mount Rushmore. But I just figure you're smart and you'd probably know the answer because I didn't. If we had to do a Mount Rushmore of the best male and female bachelorettes, who would it be on that Mount Rushmore?
Are we going like drama? Are we going likable? Like we got to have a little more context.
Let's just do likable.
Likable.
Male, bachelors. Who would be on that Mount Rushmore?
Bob Guinea. Okay. This is my personal Mount
Rushmore. Sure.
Bob Guinea, Andrew Firestone, Ben Higgins, and Chris Sewells.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Now, if we had to do the women, but taking yourself out of it, who would be on that?
Oh, that's hard for me. Emily Maynard. I'm going to go. This is just my personal. Okay. Emily, Rachel, Caitlin. And I'll go Trista. OG.
Okay. I was gonna say I was waiting for that name. I'm like, you can't do a Mount Rushmore without Trista.
Plus, I don't want to get in trouble if I don't say Trista.
Oh, that's so funny. So here's a question for you. So you've done obviously The Bachelorette. How do you meet guys now? Because it's like, do you do dating apps? Like, how does Andy meet dudes?
Honestly, just like setups, like friends will set up, you know, my friends will just set me up like mutual.
So you're not on any of the dating apps?
No, I think I tried a few of them and I was just like, I mean, too much stimulation happening. I didn't know like what to think of them. But yeah, I'd say I probably rely on friends. A couple DMs have slid in, I'm not going to lie, that I've entertained.
any celebs?
Yeah.
But how is someone supposed to get your attention on the DM? Like, let's say, okay, it's a celeb. Does that come up right in your feed first? Like, do you see them before anybody else? Because I'm sure you get a ton of DMs.
The check mark. I feel like that's why everyone's after the check mark. Not to like, I mean, I'm sure some people just want a blue check mark, but really it's like the check mark gets you at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Who was the one person that slid in your DM and not, you know, not just in a dating wise, that was just like, fuck, this is so cool. Like they know who I am. I'm on their radar.
Good question. I don't know.
I mean, cause there's such Bachelor and Bachelorette fans that I'm sure like they want to ask you a question about the show or ask you about this person. And just because they're a fan of what you're doing, maybe personally. So is there one person that kind of slid in? You're like, dude, how fucking cool is this? And you text your sister and like, I guess you just hit me up.
I'm trying to think. I mean, because there have been a few for sure. I mean, I've run into a couple. I think more it's like having run into, especially like in New York. Like I've run into like Liv Tyler, like even Andy Cohen said something to me one time, like on the streets in New York. And I was just like, wait, what? Like, you know me. I know you.
Yeah. They all live in your hood too. So it's cool. They're your neighbors. Yeah. Yeah.
When I was in West Village, there were a couple of those run-ins where I was just like, wow, like what? You know my name?
Oh, that's so cool. Well, who's the one person in your phone that still is like, holy shit, I have their number?
Oh, good question. Wait, I'm like about to look at my phone and see.
It's always so interesting to see who
have their number. Who, yeah, like who's the most famous person in my phone, basically. You know what? The funny thing is, I still keep all of my old DA detectives in my phone number just in case.
No, we can't do anything with that. Yeah.
I think those might be more important than the celebs.
Yeah. They might find some shit about Dax, so let's keep those numbers away from us.
Who do I have? It's funny because like I probably don't even talk to any of them. They probably don't even know that I have their number. Polpo is a good one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, I have Catherine Schwarzenegger.
Oh, nice. She's a great one. She's cool. She's so great.
Probably has no idea who I am and probably just gave me her number to be nice. But Kim Zolciak's a good one.
Oh, that's a great one.
Okay. I have like a low-key friendship with Kim. I met her like once or twice because she's from Atlanta and we had like some mutual friends. And like she'll text me every once in a while and that's still kind of like, it's still a little pinch already. It's like, yeah, me and Kim.
That's so funny. Cool. Now, if you don't mind giving us the number. No, no.
All right, we got to talk about endorphins. Let's get into this. Yay. This new app that you got going. You're obviously a runner. Yeah. You've done a marathon. Yeah. You know, what got you into running, I guess, to begin with?
I mean, it's obviously a longer story, but I will be honest. Like, I was in a really, like, just dark mental place, lull in my life. This is a couple years back. And, like, nothing major. Just, I think everyone's probably experienced those times where you're just like, what am I doing with my life? You know, I was watching my friends have kids and raise families. And even though I was happy in New York, it was like, no, you know, something was just off. Didn't have a lot of motivation to do anything, had kind of come off the second book and was wondering like, what now? And New York Roadrunners emailed me and were like, do you want to run the marathon? I said, absolutely not. 26.2 miles. There's no way. Like that's just stupid. Those people are crazy. And then they followed up again. And I was like, you know what? What else am I doing really with my life? Like, I didn't feel purposeful. I didn't feel motivated to do anything. And so I figured I would try it. I went, they set me up with a coach that they had there. And I went on the very first day and like something about his belief in me. This is a complete stranger at the time who would later become, you know, a very good friend of mine to this day. But just something about somebody like actually believing in me in something other than a TV show. For some reason, it started like one Tuesday and I never stopped. I showed up every single week. We trained for like 6 months. And I just saw how, whether it was the running or whether it was just training for something, it just changed my life. It was like, I was accountable for things. I was, you know, instead of like maybe going out for drinks with my girlfriend on a Tuesday because I was bored, I was like, no, I'm going to like stay home and like recover because I have a workout in the morning. And there were just like things that I was achieving that I was not achieving in my regular life. So I ended up training for 6 months and obviously like ran the marathon. But I always say like the experience of the training and like having something that motivated me every day that was like in my control, that wasn't about the outside world, that wasn't about, you know, how many likes I got or followers or things that like really didn't matter in my life. How training for something that did really turn my life around.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you take a running class, like you said you had a trainer, I always like, I'm so curious because I could run, but when it comes to long distance, is there like a method to actually run in like a proper mechanics? Do you learn that type of stuff? Cause, or do you just run? You just kind of train your body to do 3 miles today, 4 miles tomorrow, back to 2 miles or recovery run? Or like what exactly do you kind of learn when you work with a trainer?
I was fortunate to have like a trainer that really like mapped it out for me, who's actually helped me develop this Endorphins app and the training plans that are going to go on that, luckily. But there's recovery, you know, the gains are in the recovery. So there's an important aspect of actually taking care of your body after your runs. But yeah, you work your way up to it and you do it week by week. And I remember he used to only give me my schedule 1 week at a time. I'm like, why don't you just show me week 8? Like, let me see week 12. He's like, no, you'll quit. You know, the psyche, you think like, and I was a walk runner, by the way. I could not run a mile straight. Like I was not like a 5K easy, you know, rolling right into a marathon. So I started as a blank canvas and every week it was just like amazing, like how much more you could do. And you know, if you take it slow, it's 12 weeks long. By the end of the 12 weeks, not only did I run a marathon, but like at one point I ran a 20-mile run. Like I would have never thought of running a 20-mile run in week one. So there's a psyche to it, but I think there's also something kind of crazy and beautiful about like what your body actually can do. Like the body you wouldn't think is meant to run 26 miles. And even when I was running the marathon, I remember being at mile 20 being like, there's just no way my body, like, I'm down to do this. Like, I've got six more in me mentally and emotionally, but physically there's just no way. And then somehow your body just does it. It just takes over. And it's like I said, it's a crazy, beautiful thing.
So what does someone get out of this app? So, like, you know, they go to download it. What's on it? Mm-hmm. What is this app going to give them?
Yeah. So I'll say the app is really geared for like beginners or intermediary people. I think there is a market in which, like, you can go on and see runners of Instagram on social media, and these people are running, you know, 7:30 miles under 8 minutes. Like, I'm not an 8 minute miler. I'm a 9 to 10 to 11. So I will say, for starters, it's definitely geared towards beginners, but I want somebody to pick up the app and say, like, hey, you know, I want to go for a run today. I want to switch it up, or my gym is closed, or I'm overdoing, you know, the cycle. And if you know, open up the app, it's like, what do I want to do today? This is going to teach you, like, how to run. So whether you want to just run for a challenge, let's say you are a level one, you can go click on level one challenges. You can say, I've got 30 minutes to run today. What do I want to do? And it'll have like an audio guided challenge for you to run. So maybe it's 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off. Maybe it's a ladder where you kind of work your way up with running and walking. There's continuous runs. There's all different types of challenges. You could also say, hey, I want to train for a 5K. We're going to be doing our first virtual 5K in March. So the training program for that will start next week on the 18th. And so somebody can be like, yeah, I want to participate in the Endorphins virtual 5K. I'm going to start the 5K and 5 week training program. And then we'll eventually have over the summer a half marathon. So you can either do a challenge, you can do a training plan. There's also things that take you, like, before the run, whether it's stretching, nutrition. We filmed, like, core. There's four different workouts for the core, which are also, like, you know, not only helpful for running, but, like, for women, you know, you want to have the abs. Like, it's a nice little added bonus. And then there's, like, post-run nutrition, post-run recovery. We've got some cool stuff, too. We call it Beyond the Run. So there's a self-defense thing that I took part in with somebody who teaches me self-defense, which, like, was crazy cool. Like, I had no idea any of this stuff, and I just, like, walked away feeling so much more confident. And we're going to add some programming in with that. So things that kind of go beyond the run, but the idea being, hey, you want to go for a run. We're going to give you Endorphins app. It's going to give you every single tool you need to be able to just go for the run.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, it sounds really cool. And I think it's really cool. You're starting, like, not just teaching people and educating people on running, but also creating a community around it and making sure people, they find themselves accountable, which I think is really important, which you found yourself, and it's really cool. So you can check out the app at Endorphins, A-N-D-O-R-F-I-N-S. Make sure you follow Andy at Andy Dorfman, at Andy Dorfman. She's a really fun follow, and it's crazy. She actually is a runner. Like, I remember seeing her in New York, and, like, every single day she was running. Even when it was freezing, I was like, wow, you're actually running? Like, there was, like, no one else running. She actually was doing it. I was like, this girl is dedicated. Now she's created the Endorphins app. It's great.
And that's what I say too. A lot of people, like, just to add on to this, they're like, oh, I can't run. It's like, yeah, you can. Just change your perspective on it. Like, don't think of it as, like, a grueling workout. Think of it as 45 minutes away from your spouse or your kids, or, like, just you time. I mean, when I go for a run, it's most of the time, it's not even training for something. I just put my phone on Do Not Disturb. I listen to some good music, and I'm just, like, breathing fresh air for 45 minutes.
You're in the zone. It's a vibe. I get it. I get it. But again, I give you a lot of respect, because I know I saw you running during days that were absolutely freezing. I was like, fuck, this girl is dead. This girl is doing it. It made me feel, I was like, what am I doing in my life? I'm sitting here just reading It's Not Okay for the third time. Yeah. And actually, that's another thing. Make sure you check out her book, It's Not Okay. If you're looking for something to read, it's a really fun read. Andy Dorfman, thank you so much. It's a pleasure, and it's really cool. I'm glad you're kicking
Dang,
ass.
Dang, awesome. We're trying, you know? We're all trying.
Andy Dorfman, ladies and gentlemen.
That was fun. She was cool.
That was fun. Yeah, very cool, very fun. Again, I love just hearing, like, how the show is actually made. The one thing I took away is I thought it was interesting that the rose ceremony is not, like, when they do the names, it's not in the order you see on TV. And it's one of those things to look at. If you look around the room, you know, pay attention, because you can maybe see who already got a rose and who didn't. Like, it kind of, it's, I don't know, it's interesting to find out that there's a little spoiler alert if you look closely.
Well, I thought for sure that they were stopping down, because I remember we've talked to a couple bachelor contestants or whatever, and people say, oh, they stopped down so they can like learn the names, and she was like, no, I'm ready to power through it, and they wouldn't even let her power through it. I thought that was kind of funny, kind of interesting.
Yeah, she's killing it. But Dax, is there any reviews? Because we like to read reviews on this podcast. You know, if you leave a review, we like to read them out loud to show our love to you and our respect to you, because that's the best way you could do to kind of support this podcast, the Hollywood World Podcast. So what you got to do is leave a good review, and we will read it live on air. Dax, do you have a review?
No, because we read one at the beginning of the episode, so I'm going to leave that one only.
Okay, fair enough. But you can find the Hollywood World Podcast on YouTube, on Instagram, on TikTok, on all the Twitter. You can find all the social apps. We have a video component that you can watch. You can see the video of this Andy Dorfman interview, as well as other interviews we've done. You can find me at Adam Glynn, GLYN. You can find Dax Holt at DAXHOLT. Make sure you check out Dax's Trophy Smack.
Ooh,
you know, that business that he's in business with Mark Cuban. You know, that little business that you might have saw on Shark Tank that he made a deal. That's so cool. I'm so proud of you, bud. Thank you guys for listening, and like and subscribe, and we'll see you guys later.
A Huda Media Production.